In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The second gospel reading ended with these words, "In your patience possess ye your souls." But what does that mean? In your patience possess ye your souls. Another way you could translate that would be, by your steadfastness you will gain your souls. The Greek word that's translated as patience there is upamoni, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And that word can be translated as patience because that's actually the older and more traditional meaning of that word. But when we think of patience, we tend to think of something that's a much more passive thing than what the Greek word is implying. If we're at a doctor's appointment and we're waiting on the doctor to call us and there's nothing that we can do about it other than just wait, we say that we're patient if we just don't lose our temper. But what's being talked about by this word is something very different. In the parallel passages that are in the other two synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark, in both cases, that phrase is rendered as, "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And of course, the wording is very different, but the idea is the same. If you endure to the end, you will be saved. In your patience, in your endurance, your steadfastness, you will gain your souls. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, St. Paul says to Timothy, "Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And as I said before, the word meek, or meekness in this case, actually in Greek has the idea of like a trained animal, like a Doberman Pinscher. But when you see a Doberman Pinscher that's waiting for his master to say sic him, you're not thinking meek like we usually think of meek. That's somebody that's under control, but that's not somebody who's weak. So meekness is not weakness. But also patience is not inactive, because he goes on to say fight the good fight. Patience, as the scriptures talk about, is an actual struggle, a struggle to gain a prize. You could see this distinction if you think about an historical example. William Wilberforce was a famous British parliamentarian who waged a campaign to end slavery, and he did that because he was a very devout evangelical Protestant, and so motivated by his faith, he felt an obligation to wage this war, and all of his life he fought this battle, and he finally got most of the battle won by ending the slave trade. But then just 3 days before he died, he finally got the word that the final act that would abolish slavery throughout the British Empire was assured of passage. So throughout all of his life, he waged this battle and he triumphed. And so you could say that he endured, he was patient. But his endurance or his patience could have taken the form of him just simply waiting for somebody else to do something about slavery, but that's not what he did, and that's not what the word patience in this gospel is referring to. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, St. Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." When you run with patience, you're not just tapping your toes waiting for something to end. You're struggling. You're ignoring the pain. You're ignoring your physical weakness and weariness, and you're continuing steadfastly until you cross that finish line. So that's what patience means. St. John Chrysostom says that patience is the queen of the virtues. He was writing to the deaconess St. Olympia, who was very distraught by the fact that he was sent into exile, where he ultimately died. And he was trying to comfort her in her own struggles, but also talking about how he was dealing with his own. And he said, "Nothing, Olympia, redounds so much to the credit of anyone as patient endurance and suffering. For this is indeed the queen of virtues and the perfection of crowns. And as it excels all other forms of righteousness, so this particular species of it is more glorious than the rest." And he's talking about what they were going through at that particular time. How do we acquire that kind of patience? St. Paul, again, in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, says, "We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience character, and character hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So he says we're given tribulation so that we can exercise patience. God sends us different kinds of trials and difficulties, or he allows us to endure these things for our salvation. And when we go through a small struggle, we develop patience, and we develop character, and we develop hope. And then we have other difficulties that come our way, and so we become stronger. And each one of these things leads into the other. The tribulation builds the patience, or the endurance, and patience develops character. And the word there for character has the imagery of refining metal. The metal is purified, and it's tested. And character produces hope. The goal of patience is that hope, that prize that we're looking towards. And that's a hope that will not leave us ashamed, St. Paul says. St. James, in his epistle, chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, it's easy to say count it all joy when we're going through difficulties in life, but when you're actually going through those things, the temptation is not to count it all joy, but to feel sorry for yourself. But we should embrace that. If we see what's coming our way, when we see these difficulties and we realize that these things are the means that God has provided us to work out our salvation, we should embrace those things with joy. St. Paul says in chapter 15 of Romans, verses 5 through 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the Scripture might have hope." What St. Paul is pointing out is it's very important as we go through these difficulties that we strengthen our resolve by the regular study of Scriptures, because in the Scriptures we're given the wisdom on how to deal with these things, and we also find many great examples of people who endured sufferings that we can emulate. And as we read the Scriptures, it builds up our faith, and therefore it helps us to see that hope, that prize that we're shooting for. But if we don't embrace these trials the way that we should, what happens is we enter into what's called despondency. It's the exact opposite of hope. It's despair. But the difference is how you view the trials that are coming your way. Because a trial can be for your salvation, but if you allow it to be, it can be for your damnation. But if we count it all joy when we enter into various trials, then those trials will produce patience and hope. And also the fathers point out that patience produces hope, but then hope in terms produces patience. So we can enter into a cycle where we become stronger and stronger rather than a cycle where our faith becomes weaker and weaker. St. Paul, again, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, beginning in chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." When St. Paul is talking about Christ, he uses the word endured, or the verb endured, twice. In the Greek, that's just the verbal form of the very same word that's translated as patience in the first verse in that passage. So Christ himself looked to the joy that was before him. He looked for the prize of our salvation, and that gave him the strength to endure the shame and the spitting that he had to endure for our salvation. And St. Paul's saying, look at Christ as the example. You haven't suffered anything like he did. You need to do what he did, which is to keep your eyes on the prize. We have to look at Christ's example and also the example of the martyrs so that we will learn to embrace the trials that come to us steadfastly, patiently, and to endure them and overcome them. And through our struggle with these trials, we will acquire character. And with patience and character, we will acquire hope, the kind of hope that will enable us to take on anything that the enemies of our salvation may send our way. Amen.